back here in Raleigh once again to open up God's precious word. We do want to say Happy Father's Day to all the fathers here. And an unusual thing's going to take place. I'm not going to preach on fathers today. All the brethren are thankful for that. Shall we open our Bibles again to the 9th chapter, the book of John? We looked at the 8th chapter when I was here a few weeks ago. Now I want to look at the 9th chapter of the Gospel of John this morning. It's a wonderful thing to be able to preach the Word of God and to be able to work with the saints of God around the country. We have just been in Augusta, Georgia. I don't know if you had it hot here last week or not, but for the last 2 weeks we've been in a heat wave. And we've had a city-wide crusade there, which I asked you to pray for a few weeks ago with Brother Stan Ford. We had a wonderful time. The auditorium that we had was not air-conditioned. They tried to get one that was air-conditioned, and then they said, well, it's supposed to be cool, and it got up to 99 degrees in a gymnasium, and everything started off bad. When I left, I thought that I was going to have to turn and go back home. My car didn't seem to be able to pull my trailer. It coughed and spit and everything else. I finally got there, and they found out the middle of my carburetor was all loose and half apart. And I guess after 96,000 miles, you can expect this. But they fixed that, and then we started into the meetings on Sunday, and lo and behold, the speaker system wouldn't work. It echoed in that gym. And then the heat was great. The fans made noise that they couldn't hear. And the saints endured all this. It just seemed like everything went backward for us. And Brother Stan told me, he said, I've been preaching for 35 years, and this is the hardest campaign that I've ever been in. It seems like the devil is fighting us every step of the way. And you know, it was a wonderful thing to see those seven assemblies in that area united together to try to preach the gospel to their friends and neighbors. And we're thankful to say a few accepted the Lord as their Savior. During the middle of the first week, what else could happen did happen. The water main busted right in front of the place, squirted the water straight up in the air, knocked a hole in the street, and the police wouldn't let us come in to the area, and people just had to find, run over grass and everything else to get to the auditorium. But you know, it's a wonderful thing after you go through all this to say, isn't God good? To allow us to go through things like this and to serve Him. And I'll tell you what, I really appreciate all the saints in Augusta, Georgia, enduring that hot heat, coming out when they couldn't hear, and yet we got the system fixed by the end of the first week, and things went well the second week. But you know, you just thank God for people that go out and try to do things for God. Satan works hard, but it's wonderful to see the saints stick together and to pray and to back up the meeting. And I sure admire the people in Augusta. Pray for the ones that professed there and the ones that were restored back to the Lord. And we just pray that the Augusta meetings might really realize a growth in their service. The reason I tell you this is because you prayed and your prayers were answered. Verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through their midst of them, and so passed by. Here we notice the Lord Jesus Christ could have done good to these people that were there. As you remember, the last time I spoke here on Sunday morning, we spoke on that wonderful verse, the 12th verse of the 8th chapter. The Lord Jesus Christ spake unto them and said, I am the light of the world. And this I am is the straight same I am that's in the Old Testament. Remember when Moses went out to deliver the children of Israel, he asked God, he said, who should I say sent me? He said, say, I am sent you. The I am of the Old Testament is the same I am of the New Testament. In the Old Testament he's concealed, in the New Testament he's revealed as Savior of sinners. And here we notice that the Lord Jesus Christ, it says that he passed by. You know, they could have received a blessing, but they were ready to stone him. But he just walked through their midst. He wasn't in a hurry to get out of their way. He didn't run. But he just hid himself from them. No doubt each one was considered blind at the time that the Lord Jesus Christ walked through their midst. They couldn't see him. He just hid himself. He made them blind that they couldn't recognize him. And he walked through their midst. And sometimes we overlook that great miracle where the Lord Jesus Christ did as they picked up stones to cast at him. I feel, and myself, he just blinded their eyes, blinded their minds that they couldn't see. But you know, it says he passed by. They could have received a blessing, but because of rejection of him, they did not receive a blessing. He passed by. But the next verse starts off, and as Jesus passed by, he's still passing by, but here he sees somebody that is born blind. And as he passes by this time, it says he saw a man which was blind from his birth. He had compassion on this individual that needed sight. And yet, just a few hours, or maybe the same day, maybe it was the day before, we know not, for the Scripture does not tell us. He made all of these people that picked up stones to cast at him, blinded in a way that they couldn't see him. He hid himself from them. But here's one that's blind by birth, and he's going to open his eyes. You know, these that had 20/20 vision that would have liked to pick up stones and cast at him, would have liked to have ended the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He could have been a blessing to them, but instead, he just passed by. You know, there's so many people today that look at the Lord Jesus Christ and they say, oh, if we could only get rid of that name. Well, you know, he's going to pass you by. And you're not going to receive the blessing. You're not going to have your eyes opened up to what he can do for you because you of the attitude that you might have towards him. He passes by. Here is a man that we don't hear that he's speaking to the Lord. We don't see that he's asking to receive his sight. But any blind man would love to receive his sight. I know of a dear man in Durham here not long ago. I was going over to Durham for 5 Sundays in the month of May. And it was a surprise to me as I was driving over one Wednesday night, the second Wednesday night I was supposed to be there. I was driving my car meditating on my message, having a wonderful time, and the next thing I knew, I was in your city of Raleigh, right at Kmart. Well, I said, I'll just turn back and I'll get the Apex Exit, and I didn't realize Apex Exit was so far away. But here I was in Raleigh, and I was supposed to be in Durham to preach. Well, I just got there, ran in the door, and as I did, they had police cars around the place. I thought that was a welcoming committee for me. But somebody had gone in their chapel and had taken out their speaker system. Just as the song leader was ready to introduce me, he's looking over here where I usually sit. He didn't see me, and I was running down the aisle right from my car into the place, and I just got there in time. But you know, I was going the wrong direction, and I had 20/20 vision, but I was going the wrong way. But you know, there's a blind boy over there, and each night he's been bringing his Bible. I spoke to them on the book of Philippians. A big Braille Bible, and he'd read to me the scriptures, and I'll never forget one night I started quoting a scripture as he's reading it, and I quoted it, and he stopped, and he just followed that, and he said, wait a minute, you made a mistake. Isn't it a terrible thing for a man that can see and can quote the scripture to make a mistake and have a blind man tell you that you made a mistake? He was seeing with his fingers. But you know, this man here no doubt wanted his eyes opened up, but he no doubt thought he'd go through life being blind. He's born that way. No hope for him. No hope for him because he was born this way. There's no doubt, no eyeball in the socket at all. For when the Lord Jesus Christ met him, he had to make an eyeball, as we'll see in a few moments. But you know, there was no hope for this man, but he met the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, that's what's so wonderful about the Word of God. When the Lord Jesus Christ meets somebody, he gives him life. He gives him hope. He gives them a new dimension in living, and this man needed a new dimension in living. No doubt hopeless in himself, he thought to himself, I'll be blind the rest of my life. But he met Jesus. You know, it's a wonderful thing to have your eyes opened up, not only physically, but spiritually. We were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We never knew the love of God. We didn't understand God's Word until finally one day we came to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we had our eyes opened up. Maybe there's somebody here this morning, you're still blinded by sin's darkness. You haven't seen the marvelous light of Christ. But notice the second verse. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, the first part of the disciples' question is kind of foolish, isn't it? Because they asked the Lord, did this man sin? Well, how could he sin? He was born blind. Did this man sin? Well, they must have believed in reincarnation or something. To ask such a silly question of this, here he was just born, how could he have sinned? He never knew what to do, good or bad. And yet they asked the question, did this man sin? He's born blind, is this why he's born blind? Then the next part of the question we can understand, or his parents. Now a lot of times we could understand that question about his parents because the Old Testament tells us that sin would be passed on to the third and fourth generation. Some sins were so hideous that God allowed this sin to be passed on from one generation to another. And we even notice that today, that some sins that people commit are passed on to other generations. And sometimes our children bear the mark of sin that we have committed. Some have been born blind. And it hasn't been the child's sin at all, but it has been the sin of the parents because they have gotten venereal disease. And because of their sin of getting this disease, they passed it on to their offspring. And people could say, yes, it's the parents' fault that they are born blind. They committed sin. They contacted a disease, and it was passed on to their children. But the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to clear the air here. It wasn't because of the parents. It wasn't because of a father sinning. It wasn't because of a mother sinning. It wasn't their sin. It was that it might bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ and might manifest to all people that this Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is God manifested in the flesh. For you notice in the same chapter, in the 32nd verse, it brings out, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? They had heard of miracles of a person who had seen and lost their eyesight and then had them reopened. But never was a miracle ever brought forth that a man that was born blind ever received sight. You see, God was doing a new thing here. He was proving to the world and to us this morning that Jesus Christ is God manifested in the flesh. He does it because he performs a miracle in such a marvelous way that nobody could doubt that it was the Son of God that was sent from his Father above, and as we saw in the chapter before, he came to do his Father's will and not his own will. He spoke the things that his Father wanted him to speak. He did the things his Father wanted him to do. He was obedient to his Father. Wouldn't it be wonderful on his Father's Day if all the fathers could stand up and say, my child or my children are very obedient to me and do always those things that I want? Well, I think every one of us would have to bow our heads and say, well, they don't always do what I want. But you know, the Father in heaven had a son that did exactly what he wanted him to do. He said he did not speak anything that he wanted to speak. He spoke those things that his Father wanted him to speak. Isn't it great to see the life of the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated before us? Now here he shows us a great miracle. As noticed in the third verse, he answers them, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the work of God should be made manifest in him. This man was going to be used for an example for all history, for all people, that they might look at the life of Christ and say, surely he was the Son of God, he was God manifested in the flesh, for no man had ever made a man that was born blind to see. And here he performs a miracle. But this man was born this way that God might get glory. You know, it's a wonderful thing when God gets glory for things. So many times we forget to give God the praise and the thanksgiving that he deserves when we're saved. When our eyes are opened up, sometimes we boast in ourselves or we boast in a preacher. We sometimes forget to give praise to where it belongs. It wasn't by a preacher that we're saved. It's not by a certain sermon that we're saved. We're saved because the Son of God came to this earth and died for sinners like each one of us. The miracle goes back to God. Now notice in the fourth verse he says, I must work the works of him that sent me. You notice again, bringing glory to the Father. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. You see, he was the light of the world. And that's what he goes on to say. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. You know, what the world did is they put out the light. They put out the light. But God gives us in His precious word, He says, ye are the light of the world. When they try to put out the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and just the day before here in our chapter that we looked at, they tried to stone Him and He went through their midst. They tried to put out that light. They tried to do it by stoning. Remember when Pilate talked to them at the judgment seat. He said, ye have a law, ye put him to death. They said, we have no law to put him to death, Pilate. But they did have a law. Their law of putting one to death was by stoning. Here in this chapter, they picked up stones to stone him. They wanted to put out the light there. But he says, I am the light of the world. You remember in our chapter before, when he gave that great doctrine of the light of the world and he being the light of the world, it was after he had asked them to cast a stone at the woman that was caught in adultery. He said, ye who are without sin, cast the first stone. And remember, he stooped down, and as I mentioned, he wrote in the ground, and I believe he wrote the Ten Commandments. And as they looked at the commandments on the ground, they were convicted in their heart, and they went out from the eldest to the youngest. They couldn't stand the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had to get away from the light. He said, I am the light of the world. And again he brings out, I am the light of the world. Here they have tried to put out the light. But as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And beloved, the world had light as long as Christ was here. But they tried to put out that light. And when they put out the light, then they thought they had put out the light. And Satan said, crucify him, crucify him. We will not have this man to rule over us. They put him between heaven and earth, made a curse for us. But what happened? Well, he died. And as a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it brings forth much fruit. What happened? When they tried to put out the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, it only scattered the light. And every one of us that are saved this morning and are born again by the Spirit of God, ye are the lights of the world. And the light hasn't been confined to one person now, but it has been scattered throughout the world. And we are all lights for Christ. What a great thing God did in sending the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. But notice as it says in that fifth verse, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Now you can just imagine these individuals standing looking at this blind man. Now the blind man has not spoken as far as we know in the chapter. He has never asked to receive his sight. You know, beloved, that's the way it is with a lot of sinners. Maybe there's a person here this morning, you really didn't want to come to this meeting. But you're here because somebody else has been saved, and they've had their eyes opened up to the goodness of God. And they want your eyes to be opened up. And they invited you to the meeting that you might hear the Word of God, that you might see that Christ has something for you. But when you came, you had nothing in your mind as far as spiritual things concerned. You're only here because somebody maybe pestered you, maybe begged you, maybe asked you to come, and you're here. Maybe they even invited you out for dinner, and you're here because of that. Last week, I was preaching in Augusta and one of the chapels at the Believer's Chapel, and a lady there had said to the radio announcer on television, or the television announcer gives the news on every night of the week. He gives the news there in Augusta, Georgia. Him and the sportscaster, she said, if you come to the meeting, I'll make a meal for you and you will be able to hear the scripture. Well, they came a week ago Sunday, and they came back last Sunday. And she said the Sunday that they came, she said, now if you come next Sunday, the meal will be ready for you. They just dropped in. So sure enough, they came back last Sunday. Beloved, they were invited by somebody to hear the Word of God, to be touched by the scripture. Maybe that they didn't know that they were there for that reason. But the person was concerned about them. Here, this blind man maybe has no desire to have his eyes opened up at this time. He'd like to see, but he hasn't asked him for it. And Jesus meets him. You know, it's a wonderful thing when the Lord Jesus Christ meets you and brings you to your place that you need help. Here, this man needed help. As we noticed in the seventh verse, it says, and said unto him, go wash in a pool of Siloam. Now, beloved, you wouldn't think you'd tell him to go to the pool of Siloam, because even as the other pool there in Bethlehem, they were used to wash animals. They would take their animals down in these pools and they'd wash them so the priest could run his hand over to them, because that animal was speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was a pure sacrifice from God without sin and without blemish. And remember, the priest would have to run his hands over the animal's body, but before he did, the animal had to be clean. You didn't bring a dirty animal. And so they would take it to the pool of Siloam and the pool of Bethesda, and it washed the animal. Now here the Lord Jesus Christ says to this man, go wash. Wait a minute, Lord. You want me to wash where cattle's being washed? You want me to go to that pool and wash myself? Wasn't there one at the beautiful gate there at Bethesda, at the pool, that the Lord Jesus Christ healed and cleansed? And here we notice one is told to go wash in a pool of Siloam where the cattle are being washed for sacrifice, that they might be examined. Well, this man's going to be examined. He's going to be examined after he's made perfect. Well, who's going to examine the man? Well, the world's going to examine him. The Pharisees are going to examine him. The religious leaders are going to examine him, because they find out that this man received his sight. And they're puzzled that a man who was born blind receives his sight. But how did he do it? Well, the Lord spit on the ground. Now, right away, we said, well, what a terrible thing to do. You would think the Lord would have been better than that. You would think he would say, bring me some water that I might put it in and make some clay. But you know, he made the eyeball out of what we're made out of, dust. You know, at the funerals, we used to say, from dust to dust and so on. We don't do that much anymore. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ made the eyeball out of what man was made of. He very carefully went down on the ground, he spit on the ground, and he started to, with his spittle there, and we said, what a terrible thing. Oh, my. I'm sure that blind man wasn't too interested in purity or anything of this. Or the man that couldn't speak. Remember when the Lord Jesus Christ met the man that couldn't speak, and he spit on his finger, and he touched the man's tongue and made him to speak? He loosed his tongue. We said, oh, what a dirty thing. Beloved, this was the Son of God. We said, what a terrible thing. Or the time when the Lord Jesus Christ even spat in a man's eye and made him to see. Here he makes a little eyeball and he puts it into the socket. And it's there. And everybody says, he's still not seeing. And that blind man went away from there, staggering over to the pool of Siloam. He had to go and get washed. Beloved, you know, I like to think of that sacrifice that went down there for the children of Israel. Before they could bring it to the priest and have the priest accept it for them, that animal had to be washed. It had to be made clean. The Lord Jesus Christ wanted this man to go to that pool to be made clean. He'd receive his sight. What a great thing it was for this man. He knew that the Lord was doing something to his eyes, and he put something in there, and no doubt he had never felt an eyeball before like we can feel. And yet he felt that the Lord stuck something in there, and he said, I wonder what that is. But you know, he did what the Lord told him to do. The Lord just simply told him, go and wash. Now he could have said, well, Lord, I'm not going to go down that filthy place. I'm not going to do that. But you know, we have to come God's way, don't we? God asks us if we're going to be saved to believe in the precious blood of Christ. You know, a lot of people say, well, I don't like blood. I just don't like a bloody religion. I'll do anything else. I'll give my money to the church and I'll do the best I can. But don't ask me to believe in the blood, because I just get sick at the sight of blood. But you know, that's God's way. God said we can't be forgiven unless we believe on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because without the shedding of blood is no remission, is no forgiveness of sin. God gives a very clear way to receive our sight spiritually. It's by the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But notice, as it says in the 8th verse, the neighbors therefore, and they which were before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him, but he said, I am he. Oh. You know, they had a doubt. They looked at the man and they said, no, I don't think that's him. Here he sat, begging. Begging day after day. Begging for something to be given to him. When we were over in Israel, I'll never forget those beggars over there. How it would touch our hearts to see them put out their hand and ask for something. They were blind and still begging. There, I remember on the Mount of Ascension, right inside the gate. There was a blind man, and everybody that came in the gate, he would try to put out his hands and ask for an alms. Here was a man that had been doing that. What did they say? Notice that again. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, "Is not this he that sat and begged?" Now here's the question. Is not this him? This is him, isn't it? Isn't it the same fellow? But you see, now it's a change in him. He looks a little bit different because his eyes are not closed anymore. His eyes are open. It looks like the same fellow, but you know that fellow that sat there and begged, his eyes were always closed. You know, beloved, when we get saved, people see a difference in us. When we're born again by the Spirit of God, there should be a change in our life. And this is really upsetting to the world when a person professes to be saved and they say, "Yes, I'm a Christian," and yet they go to work and they still curse the same way they did before. They still drink the same way they did before. They still go to the same places they did before. Brother Stanford told us how he was treated after he got saved by his assembly. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but years ago, and I remember it in my own assembly, you know, you had the breaking of bread, and you had kind of a circle. We always put the seats in circles. And we sat around the table. But there was always a few benches behind. You know who they were for? For those that hadn't had their eyes opened up, those that weren't saved. You'd come in our chapel, and one of the brethren, the elders, would meet you and say, "Are you born again?" "Well, I'm a church member." "Are you born again? Have you trusted the Lord?" "No." "Well, you sit over here and you look on." Brother Ford was telling us how it was for him after he accepted the Lord. The brethren still wouldn't let him break bread. And he said he wanted to break bread. They said, "No, your life is not clean." He said, "What do you mean my life isn't clean? I've accepted the Lord, yes. But you're still making your living by boxing." "Oh." He said, "That was really it." He said, "Those brethren, as long as he was in the ring boxing, making his money by boxing, he was not allowed to break bread." Now, you and I would say, that's an awful hard thing. But you see, those brethren believed in separation. They believed a man that was blind could see. And some men, he said, preached to him about his boxing and said, "You should get rid of it." But he said, the fellow that led him to the Lord never did that. So what he did is one night when he's ready to go fight, he said, "Well, you're going out to fight." He said, "Let's have prayer." He said he got down on his knees and he told the Lord, he said, "Now, Lord, just give Stan the ability just to knock this man, make him black and blue and bloody." And Stan said he had to open his eyes. Well, you know, beloved, after Stan said, "Do you think you should have prayed that way?" He said, "If you can't do everything with all your might and ask God's blessing of it, get out of it." You see, he was trying to teach him a lesson. If you can't pray what you're doing, get out of it. You see, there should be a change in the life. Now, these neighbors looked at this man and they said, "He looks like the same fella, but it might not be him." But you notice the testimony that he gave. I like this. Notice what he says in the ninth verse. Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." Some said, "Yes, that's him. That's him. The only difference is he can see now." You know, the only difference between us when we're saved and before we're saved, when we're lost, is that we have a new life. We have a new desire to serve a new person. Where we once served Satan well, now we want to serve God well. Where we were a blessing to Satan, now we want to be a blessing to God. Where we took our orders from Satan before, now we want to take our orders from God. You see, it's a new thing. They said, "Well, it looks like him." Some said, "Well, I think it's another fellow." But notice his testimony. But he said, "I am he. I am he. I'm the same fellow. But I can see." You see, he gives testimony that there was a change. He doesn't say, "No, I'm not that fellow that was blind. I'm not that beggar." Oh, yes, he had to admit, "Yes, I was a beggar." Beloved, that's the same thing we have to admit after we're saved. We have to say, "Yes, sir, I was that sinner. I am that fellow that committed those sins." You know, it's a sad thing to see somebody that has committed sins to have to go to jail. Even our hearts was touched this last couple weeks when a young fellow who has accepted the Lord in Augusta had to be put off into jail for 4 years. But you see, the debt that he had to pay to society wasn't paid by the Lord. His sins were all washed away, and he went to jail rejoicing. He said, well, he says, I'm going to get rid of my lawyer. He says, I know I'm guilty. One night he was driving his car, and his car went out of control, and he killed another man, ran head on. You know, the woman that lost her husband, she wanted that man punished. He was guilty. He had been under dope, under drugs. And you see, it's a crime to kill somebody. And as far as that woman's concerned that lost her husband, that man was a murderer, but now he's saved. Oh, beloved, it's a sad thing to see a Christian have to go to jail. Oh, everybody say, well, let him go free. But, beloved, here's a woman that has lost her husband. She wants that man to pay a price. You know, it's a wonderful thing to see that God forgives us of all our sin, but sometimes, after we're saved, we still have to pay a penalty to society. Sometimes we have to go to jail because we've broken the laws of society, and we have to pay back what we owe to society. You know, it's a hard thing to see somebody you love and somebody that you've seen trust the Lord and go on for the Lord to be put in jail. You know, he wasn't there but just a day. This was just this last Monday. He was put in jail for 4 years. Brother Edgar went to visit him, and you know what he said? He says, already I've had a fella come up to me and offer me marijuana right there in prison. How did they get it? How did they get it? Well, beloved, it's there. Already that thing that he gave up for Christ, that thing that really put him in prison, that dope here now once again after he's in prison, where you would think he would be safe and secure from all dope, here the first day he's in prison, somebody offers him some marijuana. Isn't it amazing? But he said he was glad that he could say, no, he didn't need that. Oh, he's a new man. You see, when you meet the Lord Jesus Christ, he changes you. He makes you a different person. When people look at you, they say, I think it's the same man, but he doesn't act the same. It's like the woman that went, you remember years ago, down in our streets of Minnesota, and I imagine here as well, you used to have peddlers that would come by with their wagon. And it was many times a horse-drawn wagon. A lot of people don't remember that, but it was. And I even remember when they used to have a horse-drawn place that a man, a milkman, would be driving on a milk carton, a wagon of some type. I'll get it out. And he used to have a horse to pull it. I used to always like to ride with him down the street, you know, until one day my brother fell off and broke his collarbone, and that ended the ride with the horse and the milkman. But you know, it used to be the men that would come by with their trucks and with their machines and so on with vegetables on. And some of the women didn't want to go and buy vegetables from this man because he always cursed no matter who was there. He's just a terrible fella. His name was John. He just cursed something terrible. And everybody, some of the women said, I wouldn't buy from him for nothing, you know. But one woman, one Christian woman in the neighborhood wanted to get some vegetables, and she needed it, and she didn't want to go to the store. And so she said, well, I'm going to break down. I hate to hear that man's cursing and swearing. She said, but I'm going to go to him and buy the vegetables. She was there, and he's very polite and very nice, and weighed up the vegetables and gave it to him. And she said, are you the same John? He said, no, this is a new John. She said, what's happened? Oh, he says, I got saved. You see a difference. She noticed the difference in the man. She didn't want to buy from him because he cursed so much. But she had to, and when she went to him, she found out it was a new John there. Beloved, here this man has to say, I'm the same one, I'm he. But he's different because now he has his sight. Isn't it a wonderful thing when you see the miracles of God work in the life of a human being? And isn't it wonderful when a father in a home gets saved? And he brings out to his children, not cursing and swearing anymore, but he comes home as a good father and a good husband, and he brings blessing to the home instead of a curse. There's some men that I know of, and since it's Father's Day, I'll inject this in, but there's some men that I know that their families hate to see him come home because when they come home, they're full of alcohol or dope or something, and they beat the wives and they beat the children. And the children say, I wish Daddy wouldn't come home, you know. They love him, but they don't love what the booze does to him. They'd like a new daddy. Well, beloved, the only way they can get a new daddy and a new mother and new children is by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he changes the individual. You see, he's changed this man. You notice in the next verse it says, in the 10th verse, "Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened?" Isn't that nice when somebody says to you, "Well, how did you get saved? How were you changed in your life?" Well, you sure don't want to tell people, "Well, because I came to North Raleigh Chapel and Jim Redling was speaking and I walked the aisle and that's what changed me." No, that didn't change you. What changed you? What opened your eyes? Any man that's saved should be able to tell somebody else what happened. If you can't tell people what happened to you when you were saved, you better check up to find out if you've been saved. You should know how you were saved. How were you saved? Many times after I lead somebody to the Lord, I say, "Well, how were you saved?" "Jesus died for me." "Well, what cleansed your sins?" "The blood of Jesus Christ cleansed my sins." Beloved, they know what happened. This man knew what happened. He met the Lord Jesus Christ. "Well, how did he do it? How did he get rid of your sins?" "Well, Jesus died on a cross. And I simply believe that when he died for me." When I accepted that, when I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and received his death to pay for my sins, that moment I was saved. That easy? No doubt they looked at him. "You mean to tell me he spit on the ground and he put that in your and you can see?" "I don't believe it." "Well, I know you don't believe it. But once I was blind and now I see." He knew because he had experienced it. Listen, if you're truly born again by the Spirit of God, you don't have to worry about that person. No matter how much criticism they get, they're going to say, "I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Beloved, do you know today that you've been born again? Have you gone to the pool of Siloam, not the same pool, but to think of being washed and made clean and fit for the presence of God? God wants you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and to see that he can give you spiritual sight as he has given you even physical sight. He wants to make you a new person. He wants to give you a new dimension of living. And he wants you to speak out for him and say, "Yes, I am he. I'm the same man, but I'm different. For old things have passed away and there's a brand new life in front." This man had a brand new life in front of him because now he could see. Before he couldn't see. Now he can see. Maybe there's one here this morning, you can't see. Spiritually, you can't see what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you again. But you know, if you come to Christ, he will give you spiritual sight. Could we sing in closing that little song, "Just As I Am," number 249. And maybe there's a father here today that you would like to have your eyes opened up. You'd like to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive your spiritual eyesight that you might know all sins forgiven and you might go away a new father, a new daddy, one that will be able to bring your family close to him. Maybe there's a mother that needs Christ. Maybe there's a young person. Why don't you just come to him this morning and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? We're going to have a word of prayer and we're going to sing. Maybe there's somebody that would like to come forward and receive Christ this morning, or maybe you have. Oh, it'd be a wonderful thing to be saved on this Father's Day. Shall we pray? Father, we just pray for each one here this morning. We just pray that thou would speak to our hearts and give life through the Word. And Father, that thou would light up the hearts of men and women that they might be born again by the Spirit of God. We ask thee now to speak to us as we sing this closing hymn in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we sing number 249. We'll sing just the first and the fifth stanza. Shall we sing?